the Taco Bell Hotel. No, really. And it's in the news. Happy Friday and welcome to the Business News Hour. Thanks, as always, for coming by. More tax breaks for the wealthy? Yeah, according to the White House. How about a warning label on political tweets? It's a thing. The Supreme Court will hear a case against Bancorp. Meanwhile, consumer spending is in the news again. We've got a canned water story, and Lego is getting into the wax business. And because it's Friday, we'll chat with Jeff Pitts and Trevor Babcock about stuff to do in the Des Moines Metro this weekend into next week. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome back to the Friday edition of the Business News Hour. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Want to reach out to us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at IOB_NewsHour. Me personally, you can find me on Twitter as well, at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled L-I-B-B-I-E. So how stoked are the brand warriors of Taco Bell? Well, try this one on. If you had thoughts of staying at the pop-up Taco Bell Hotel, you're too late. All available rooms were snatched up, and get this, just 2 minutes into taking reservations. And with that, the Yum! Brands unit proved once again how much its customers love the brand. So here's the story. Taco Bell started taking reservations yesterday at 1 o'clock Eastern time for the roughly 70 rooms at its Palm Springs, California hotel. Less than a minute after the bookings went live, the website was already overwhelmed by the demand. Some users attempting to book a room got a message that said, "Hang on, we got way more traffic than what we can handle." Rooms started at $169 a night, no minimum required. The Bell, which, by the way, is taking over a Palm Springs, California hotel, will open its doors on August 8th and then close them on August 12th. Now, if you were lucky enough to get in, you can look forward to tasting Taco Bell's take on the Palm Springs restaurant menu, like a grilled chicken Caesar salad that includes croutons crafted out of Mexican rice and chicken marinated in the nacho fries spices. Of course, traditional Taco Bell favorites will also be available. The Bell, that's the hotel, will also feature a gift shop with exclusive Taco Bell-themed apparel and an on-site salon with Taco Bell-inspired nail art and hair styling services. We're not making this up. To round out the experience, hotel guests can expect performances from, what they are saying, up-and-coming musicians, feature-length movie showings, and a lounge inspired by Mountain Dew Baja Blast. Yeah, that. Well, it seems the wealthy folks in the United States need some more tax help. That, according to White House staff familiar with the plan to cut taxes by indexing capital gains to inflation. It's a move that would largely benefit the wealthy and may be done in a way that bypasses Congress. Revamping capital gains taxes through a rule or executive order likely would face legal challenges. That was a concern that reportedly prompted former President George H.W. Bush's administration to drop a similar plan. The tax cut would go into effect prior to the 2020 election, boosting President Trump among the wealthy in America. Most of the benefits would go to high-income individuals, with the top 1% receiving 86% of the benefit, according to estimates by the Penn-Wharton budget model. The policy could reduce tax revenue by $102 billion over a decade. The change in capital gains tax calculation would have little chance of passing Congress, which is apparently why the White House is considering making the change on its own. Well, presidents and other world leaders and political figures who use Twitter to threaten or abuse others could find their tweets slapped with warning labels. We're not making this up either. The new policy announced by Twitter yesterday comes amid complaints from activists and others that President Donald Trump has gotten a free pass from Twitter to post hateful messages and attack his enemies in ways they say could lead to violence. From now on, a tweet that Twitter deems to involve matters of public interest but which violates the service's rules will be obscured by a warning explaining the violation. Users will have to tap through the warnings to see the underlying message, but the tweet will not be removed, as Twitter might do with a regular person's posts. Twitter said the policy applies to all government officials, candidates, and similar public figures with more than 100,000 followers. In addition to applying the label, Twitter will not use its algorithms to elevate or otherwise promote such tweets. Twitter's rules prohibit threatening violence against a person or group, engaging in targeted harassment of someone, or inciting others to do so, such as wishing a person is harmed. It also bans hate speech against a group based on race, ethnicity, gender, or other categories. Up until now, the company has exempted prominent leaders from many of those rules, contending that publishing controversial tweets from politicians helps hold them accountable and encourages discussion. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to consider reviving a class action lawsuit against U.S. Bancorp that accused it of mismanaging an employee pension fund in a matter that violated the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or ERISA. The plaintiffs said the plan's administrators pursued an investment strategy that, beginning with the 2008 financial crisis, led to nearly $750 million in losses. The plaintiffs accused pension plan managers of breaching their fiduciary duty toward them from late 2007 to 2010 by adopting an overly risky and conflicted strategy of piling the plan's assets solely into equities and a bank subsidiary's mutual funds. Stay tuned. By the way, the court will hear arguments in the case during its next term, which begins in October, and a ruling will be due sometime before June of 2020. U.S. consumer spending increased moderately last month, and prices rose slightly, pointing to slowing economic growth and benign inflation pressures, which could give the Federal Reserve ammunition to cut interest rates next month. The report from the Commerce Department came just a week after the Fed signaled it could ease monetary policy as early as next month, citing low inflation as well as growing risks to the economy from an escalation in trade tensions between the United States and China. Consumer spending, which accounts for more than two-thirds of U.S. economic activity, rose by 0.4% as households boosted purchases of motor vehicles and spent more time at restaurants and on hotel accommodations. Data for April was revised upward to show consumer spending advancing by 0.6% instead of the previously reported 0.3% gain. Meanwhile, according to the report, consumer prices rose by 0.2% last month due to a rebound in food prices, which was then tempered by a decline in the cost of gasoline and other energy goods. In addition, and consumers seem to realize this, economic growth is shifting into a lower gear as last year's stimulus from the massive tax cuts and increased government spending tends to fade. Manufacturing is struggling, job growth has slowed, and the housing market remains mired in a soft patch. By the way, the Atlanta Fed is forecasting gross domestic product to rise at 1.9% in the second quarter. That's well off the estimates from earlier in the year. Fresh off the news that soda giants are banking on distilled water fountains comes a PepsiCo announcement that it's testing its Aquafina water in aluminum cans. The move is an attempt to get away from using virgin plastic, and virgin plastic is something that is never been recycled. While canned water is somewhat new to the market, PepsiCo did not pioneer the concept. The creators of Vita Coco introduced cans of Ever and Ever as an easily recyclable option for consumers last year. PepsiCo predicts the move to cans could eliminate more than 8,000 metric tons of new plastic. Well, it seems that Iowa-based Unity Point Hospitals and Clinics are in talks with South Dakota's Sanford Health about a potential merger, creating a major healthcare player in the Midwest. In a release, Unity Point said their merger would create one of the 15 biggest nonprofit healthcare systems in the country, with more than $11 billion in annual operating revenue, and would employ more than 83,000 staff members and 2,600 physicians. Both hospital systems are classified as nonprofit organizations, meaning they're overseen by community boards and are exempt from taxes. Coming up, hey, it's Friday, and that means a conversation with Jeff Pitts and Trevor Babcock about stuff to do in the Des Moines Metro this weekend into next week. Hey, it is Friday fun. Don't expect anything real serious coming up. Click ahead, and thanks for being with us.